We're all set at the commission's office, recording.
Okay, and our recording is on here, so the time now is 2:02 PM. I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, October 13th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Mr. Chavez.
Here.
Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Mrs. Esche. Mr. Hankins.
Here.
Mr. Shaw.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Here.
Mr. Winkler.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, here. I just want to double check. Commissioner Chavez, are you there? Okay, I didn't think so. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment. Its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time that you are called upon to speak. I'll repeat that. Please identify yourself first for the recording each time that you are called upon to speak.
Sure.
All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times, not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of September 22nd, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move the adoption of the minutes of the September 22nd, 2021 meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Commissioner Einhorn.
Mr. Einhorn, second?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to ask now, all in favor, I'll take a roll call. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Shaw.
Here.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Next, we will consider the hearing
officer. And also Commissioner Fuseschi. Yes.
Excuse me, Commissioner Fuseschi. I didn't know you had arrived. Thank you.
I snuck in.
So it passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are publicly accessible on our website, which is at www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it. We will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC-20-0151, Howard Gombert Jr. versus Spencer Serrato, Chief Police Department, Town of New Milford, et al. Is anyone there on that matter? Mr. Gombert, are you there?
He doesn't wish to be heard.
Is there anyone there from the Town of New Milford? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuseschi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Shaw.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC-2020-0295, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
This is Victor Velasco here for that matter.
Do you you wish to proceed on that matter, Mr. Velasco?
Commissioner Egan, if it's possible, I didn't receive any notice that I was supposed to have this hearing today, so I don't have any, I don't even have the hearing officer report in front of me. Can I ask for a continuance so that I can prepare for this? Because I received three notices for three other hearings that were all set for October 27th and nothing for this matter.
Colleen, could we continue this matter?
Mr. Chairman, if I could speak to that for just a minute. I think Mr. Velasco may be referring to three other matters that were placed on the October 27th meeting agenda. This matter has been scheduled for the 13th today, and he should have received the paperwork. And also just want to let you know that this matter was on your agenda either the last meeting or the meeting prior, where Mr. Velasco asked for your indulgence to move the matter off so that he could be prepared to proceed. So it's one that's been lingering for a while. I don't know if the respondent's counsel would like to speak to it as well, but that's the situation over here.
Is there anybody for the respondents?
Yes, this is Attorney McCurdy with the Department of Correction. I would also argue that Mr. Velasco had the hearing officer's report for the last commission meeting. At that time, he asked for a continuance so that he could brief his points, but as yet we haven't received anything. But he does have the hearing officer's report, so I do not think another continuance should be granted.
Okay. All right.
Commissioner Egan, this is Victor Velasco.
Any of the excuse me, sir.
I do have the report, but it's in myself.
I'm sorry. The commissioners wish to address this. I'm just going to mark it ready unless someone wishes to address the issue and continue.
This is Commissioner Hankins. What everyone's saying is my recollection also. That's what happened last time.
All right. Well, so we'll mark this ready, and then we can take it up at that point. All right. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0317, Ryan Jordan versus Frank Limon, Chief Police Department, City of New Haven. This was a failure to prosecute. Is there anyone there on that matter? I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself voting in yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0019, Leon Sanders versus Chief Police Department, Town of Ansonia. This was withdrawn. Is there anyone here on this matter?
Yes, John Marini, City of Ansonia.
This was withdrawn. Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to vote on this?
No.
No, you would like to?
No need for a hearing. No need for a hearing. No need for a hearing.
Thank you. I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, at the request of the complainant, withdraw the adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0246, William Efros versus Chairman, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Greenwich, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
William Efros, yes. Here.
Alan Walker. Yes, Kathy Wadler for the respondent, Tom Fredich.
Okay, we'll mark that matter ready. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is docket number FIC 2020-0352, Bill F. Rose versus Chairman Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Greenwich. Are the same parties involved in this matter as well?
Yes.
Yes, as well, yes.
Okay, we'll mark that matter ready.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0364, Board Duke versus Board of Selectmen, Town of Newton. I'm sorry, Town of Newtown. At, is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Alex Cox, COPP, Conan Wolf for the respondent. If Mr. Duke is not here and doesn't intend to present oral argument, I have nothing else to say other than I ask the commission to adopt the hearing officer's report.
Thank you. Mr. Duke, are you there? I entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a failure to appeal and a dismissal. At the request of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll conduct a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0009, Edwards versus Commissioner of the State of Connecticut Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Failure to prosecute. Is there anyone there on this matter? Lisa Edwards?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy here. I just want to alert you, and I believe you may have received a communication from us quite last minute or just in advance of the meeting. I just want to let you know that Ms. Edwards did email us last evening asking that this matter not be considered today. We did, just prior to the meeting, contact counsel for the respondent to see if there was an objection to us marking it off, and counsel asked that issue be addressed here at the meeting today and to give her an opportunity to address that request to continue the report from today to another meeting.
You're suggesting is that we continue this.
No, I'm advising you that there's a request to continue to mark it off for this meeting, but because it came in so late, we didn't have a real opportunity to vet that, and we spoke with the respondent's counsel today to see whether there was an objection to just marking the matter off, continuing it, and I think she may have an objection to that, so she asked that. If there was consideration of that request to continue, that she could be heard today.
Okay, so we'll mark that ready. All right, thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0055, Jerry Spear versus Building Department, City of Norwich, et al. This was a no show. Is there anyone here?
Yes. Yes, Sherry Spear is here and I'm ready.
You'd like to be heard?
Thanks. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, this is Michael Carey here for the respondents as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Right. Before we consider this, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to make a general announcement.
Sure. As was indicated at the beginning of the meeting, this matter is being recorded in its entirety, and that recording will be available on our website soon after this meeting. So there's no need to request a recording of your case. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right. First is FIC 2020-0295, Victor Velasco. This is Roland Cook, Commissioner of State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
I'm here, sir.
Is there anyone there for State of Connecticut?
Yes, this is Attorney McCurdy.
Attorney McCurdy, thank you. All right, Mr. Velasco, this was dismissed. I'd like to begin.
Yeah, I'd like to begin by saying that I know, I understand that the commissioners don't know what really happens in a correctional facility. I was placed into, my entire unit was placed into restrictive housing. We were moving to restrictive housing, not for anything that we've done, but because they wanted to make room for kitchen workers due to the COVID-19 issue. I've had no counselor until last week. So the only, if this is the same meeting that I'm thinking that was pushed back because I needed to make the copies to send to the commissioners, that hasn't been done. We just received a new counselor, and that's the only way to make copies. But if the commissioners don't want to continue this, if somebody could just give me a better understanding of what the report, what was the grounds for dismissal, then I'll try to argue it here.
Attorney Murphy.
Well, just based upon the notes that I have before me, there were three requests in this matter, three requests for records at issue, and the conclusions were that those records were exempt pursuant to 1-210B18, otherwise known as the security-based exemption.
This is Velasco. Is this for video? A video request?
Yes.
Okay, commissioners, on the grounds that video requests are being denied, it seems like the hearing officers, and this is in I think every case I've had now, is they're denying based on, I believe it's a Supreme Court case. We don't have access to a law library, so I can't research these cases that the commission hearing officers give me. So I can't really argue what exactly is contained in the decisions of these cases. The language in it is short. These are excerpts that we received in the hearing officer's decisions that we can't look up for ourselves to mount a defense to this, because these cases might contain different remedial aspects that prisoners can use to actually obtain the copy of these videos. They're just being denied based on the fact that the state puts on a witness that says, well, this is a video that depicts the inside of a facility, and not all videos inside I'm sorry, I thought somebody said something. Not all videos that show the inside of a prison is video that should be exempt, because video that shows what happened to a certain prisoner at the time, or if there is a situation that involves the person that filed this appeal, if the Department of Correction is comfortable with showing prisoners the area that they're being placed in, the fact that there's windows that depict, which are cell windows, these aren't windows that depict the outside world. This is just cell windows, or the doors don't actually show the locking mechanisms as is usually claimed in these hearings, the doors show locks. There are keyholes. They don't show locking mechanisms. And when a prisoner in my position requests for an in-camera review, that should be reviewed by the hearing officer so that they can see for themselves that there's nothing in these videos that shows that there's a reason why it should be denied. Instead, all videos are being denied based on a blanket policy. And it seems like this court decision that was made, and I don't mean to presume too much here, but it seems like this decision is taking the authority or the right of the commission to make independent determinations as to whether or not prisoners can receive these videos, whether or not there is a genuine safety security risk. It should be determined by the hearing officer. It shouldn't be determined by this one case. And then, you know, it's basically saying that there's no video ever that's going to be released to anybody, because if it's not released to a prisoner, it basically is not released to anybody, even in society, because it shows the same thing. Whatever it shows, it shows. And if that's the decision, then it seems like there's a big chunk of the role of the commission here being taken away and determining whether or not this should be disclosed or not. And I'm going to say that a lot of these videos that I'm requesting are genuinely not safety security related. They are the only safety and security that's being jeopardized here is that of the complainant, not of the department. And there's no risk to the state of Connecticut in these videos, except for maybe their liability for what happens in those videos or what's actually being depicted. I think this dismissal is just incorrect. It's incorrect, and it should under the Freedom of Information Act, these videos need to be individually and on a case by case basis actually decided upon, not just a blanket policy using one case to deny every request. I believe that should be the hearing officer report should be a return just on that. That's my stance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. I urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. As stated, there were three different FOI requests encompassed within this complaint. They were requesting multiple types of records. The hearing officer wrote an excellent opinion examining each request, each type of record, and finding that all responsive records were provided to Mr. Velasco, except those that are exempt from disclosure under 1-210D18 of the statute. Mr. Velasco is mistaken that we have a blanket policy of not releasing all videos. We bring a qualified witness to each hearing to testify exactly what is in the video and why it creates a safety and security risk if it were released. So the hearing officer does make an independent determination for each case that it is a legitimate safety and security risk to release the video that has been requested. In this case, the lieutenant testified that the security cameras do depict areas covered by cameras as well as areas in the facility that are not covered by the security cameras. It shows the staffing levels, it shows the escorting procedures. All these things from inside the facility which create vulnerability and would create a safety and security risk if released. And not that it's not just released to Mr. Velasco, As we discussed last time, the problem with disclosure is that we presume once released, it is released to the public. So it creates a risk of coordination with others on the outside. In many decisions since 2008, this commission has consistently deferred to the DOC commissioner's judgment and experience regarding safety and security risks involved with releasing videos from inside the facility. The risks that Lieutenant Jusson described in this case are very real and not pretextual. Continued deference to the commissioner's judgment on this matter is appropriate. For these reasons, we urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. Are there any questions?
Do the commissioners have any questions of either of the parties?
I had one question. This is Commissioner Fusecci.
Go ahead.
My recollection, and maybe I hope it's correct, was that the issue, one of the issues that came up when we last addressed this matter was whether there was a short video, less than 60 seconds, that Mr. Velasco said he was willing to accept and seeking, and whether that has been addressed. I can't find where that was addressed, whether there are videos which are short and precisely defined, and therefore the commissioner, even as we should, granting deference to the commissioner, have been examined for security risk. And I haven't heard further discussion of that very shortened, precise video. Am I misrecollecting what happened to that question?
This is Attorney McCurdy. I do recall that discussion, but it was actually a different inmate, a different case. It was not Mr. Velasquez's case that was discussing today.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I do believe that we need to search for the appropriate balance with due respect to deference. So if that was a different case, thank you.
It's Colleen Murphy. I will concur with that it was another case that was decided already by the commission.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the commissioners? There's not, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Chairman.
Richard Winkler, I second that.
Is there any discussion?
This is Commissioner Hankins. I just find this an exceptionally well articulated and well-reasoned decision. I mean, it follows the facts, the Tuesday hearing, and follows the clear, relevant law, and I would urge to adopt it.
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy. Sorry to interrupt, and we are a little off in our timing, but the hearing officer did have an amendment that is not particularly substantive that she would like to offer.
Do we have to withdraw the motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw the second, Commissioner Winkler.
Okay, motion's been withdrawn. What's the amendment, please?
Hello, Mr. Chairman, this is Kathleen Ross. I was the hearing officer. These are not substantive amendments. In the first one is in paragraph 15. There's a case cited in paragraph 15, which is also one of Mr. Velasco's decisions. That decision was adopted at your last meeting. These two cases were consolidated. And as we've established, Mr. Velasco asked that this one, 295, be put off until today. So I'd like to add the date that the 0294 case became the final decision. So where I would propose to put that date is right after in line 3, paragraph 15, line 3, right after the docket number. Just insert between the 4 and the comma in parentheses, September 8th, 2021. That's the date that became a final decision. And then in paragraph 17, I would propose to add to the string cite in paragraph 17, the same Victor Velasco decision. So yet another case where the commission has determined that disclosure of the video would constitute a safety or security risk. So that amendment would be eliminating the period in the very last line and making it a semicolon, and then adding Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Correction et al., docket number FIC 2020-0294, and then in parentheses the date September 8th, 2021, period. And on page 7 in paragraph 32, there is a date missing. If you look to the third line from the bottom of paragraph 32, there's the word date. And that date should be, that word date should be eliminated and substituted with September 13th, 1989.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
Streeter? I don't know, did you acknowledge me?
I did. I did, yes.
I apologize. All right. I'd like to make an amendment. For the request of the hearing officer in paragraph 15 on the third line to insert the date after the docket number in the Velasco versus Roland Cook case of September 8th, 2021. Additionally, in paragraph 17, for the request of the hearing officer to insert the same Velasco case number and date at the location she submitted. And also in paragraph 32, an additional amendment concerning the correct date, where it says date as September 13th, 1989.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? We'll take a roll call those in favor of the amendment. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Buzacci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Shaw? Is Mr. Shaw there? Okay. Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. I think everybody agrees, with the exception of Commissioner Shaw, is Commissioner Shaw.
Commissioner Shaw is available.
Oh, Commissioner Shaw, do you agree with the amendment?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. All right, it's unanimous. So now, with regards to
Mr. Chairman, sorry, go ahead. Commissioner Streeter, I was just going to move the amended hearing officer's report for adoption.
Perfect.
Commissioner Winkler.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the decision as amended. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Deshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Great. Now we move on to docket number FIC 2020-0246, William F. Rose versus Chairman, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Greenwich et al. Are you there, Mr. F. Rose?
I am.
And is there someone there from the Town of Greenwich?
Yes, Abby Wadler for the Town of Greenwich.
Wadsworth?
Wadler, W-A-D-L-E-R.
And you're an attorney?
Yes, I'm an assistant town attorney.
Okay, Attorney Wadler, thank you. All right, Mr. Efros, this matter was denied, so would you like to begin?
Yes. On May 26, 2020, I asked for an exact copy of the 42-inch by 30-inch site plan submitted in PDF format by the Town of Greenwich Board of Education to the Town of Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission for review by the commission on April 7th, 2020. What I received were 8.5-inch by 11 photocopies of the site plan in PDF format scanned on May 5th, 2020. This is like asking to see the a copy of the Constitution and getting back a photocopy of the Constitution on a postage stamp. No matter how greatly you magnify the stamp, you will never be able to read the Constitution. The May 5th, 2020 PDF is not the exact copy of the document received by the Planning and Zoning Commission in its public meeting on April 7th, 2020. It is not readable. All I have asked is that the Freedom of Information Commission order the Town of Greenwich to provide me with an exact PDF copy of the site plan submitted in PDF format prior to April 7, 2020 by the Town of Greenwich Board of Education to the Town of Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission. Thank you for hearing my report.
Thank you.
Attorney Wadler?
Yes, this is Attorney Wadler. We are hearing 2020-0246, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, I guess I'm confused. The request, which was considered in this decision, was for a PD.
Murphy.
One moment, I'm having the hearing officer join me. Yeah, I was a bit confused by the statement by Mr. Efros as well. I wasn't sure I was on the right case, and that sort of characterized the entire process. I'm going to just point out the paragraphs to the commissioners who can kind of follow what happened here. The request is in paragraph two. So the complainant requested a copy of the final site plan for the building of a stadium at 10 Hillside Road in PDF format. That's what the request was. What the findings of fact are is that the respondents provided exactly what the developer provided to them, a series of PDF documents that comprise the final site plan. So Mr. Efros has been provided with everything that the town maintained. At the hearing, the complainant contended that the town had received these documents comprising the final site plan on a CD from the developer, and he contended that what he was really seeking was an exact copy of that CD. But the evidence showed clearly that the town never received a CD containing the PDF documents. Rather, the developer submitted those documents because of COVID. This is all a new COVID thing. Yes, did they used to send it on a CD? Absolutely. But under all COVID restrictions, the developer simply attached the PDF documents to an email and submitted them to the town that way. So I hope that clears it up. It was definitely a sort of difficult sea to wade through, but in the end, I think that Mr. Efros has the records that he asked for.
This is Mr. Efros. May I speak?
Sure.
The hearing officer in paragraph 9 basically said that it isn't about a CD, it is about a PDF. And what I'm saying is that the PDF that was sent to me was not the PDF that was attached to the email. The PDF attached to the email had to have a date on it prior to April 7th, 2020. And in fact, the one that I received was a photocopy of something else. It was only 8.5 by 11 inches, and you couldn't read it. I'm asking to see the same thing that the commission saw on April 7th, 2020, when it had a public meeting. And that's all I have to say, unless someone has questions.
Right. So I want to turn back to Attorney Wadler, please.
Yeah, thank you. As far as the PDF is concerned, evidence was presented by the Director of Planning and Zoning that Mr. Eprose received what the town maintained. Because of COVID protocol at the time, the town was not receiving the documents or the hard copies it was normally received. It received the material in a PDF, and that's exactly what was sent to Mr. Eprose.
This is Mr. Eprose. That is not what was sent to me.
Excuse me. Do any of the commissioners have any questions of either of the parties?
This is Commissioner Fuse. I actually have a question.
Yes.
So I'm a little confused. Attorney Wadler, are you saying that what the town received was not legible?
I don't know that it's not legible. The town was able to use it for its purposes. I'm sorry, this is Abby Wadler speaking. The town was able to use it for its purposes. I don't know how Mr. Eppler found it.
But you're saying he was given what the town had.
This is Abby Wadler, that's correct.
And you do not know if it's legible or not.
I believe it's my opinion that it's legible. It was an exhibit to the hearing.
Now, this is Commissioner Streeter. The complainant never said that it wasn't legible. He said he had difficulty reading. He said it was like small on a postage stamp. That's Commissioner Fuzeshi saying that. It was not legible. Just for clarification purposes.
I take your point, but I'm still trying to understand. I don't see that question of it was not maybe raised in the hearing, whether it was too small to read or too. So that may be the answer, but.
And if it wasn't raised at the hearing, again, Commissioner Strange.
I understand that. That I agree with you 100%.
This is Mr. Eflos. It was raised at the hearing. I'm a computer guy, so I understand the computer stuff. I don't understand the legal stuff. And I've been just trying to explain that the file that was sent to me was created after the hearing at which it was presented. If the town is saying that it is not required to keep the original that it reviewed at the April 7th meeting, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for the file that was reviewed at that meeting. The file that was sent to me is not legible. And the town seems to be saying now that if it looked at it as illegible,
It doesn't count, but it seems to me that it should. But he's 100 years old. If I may, this is Abby Wadler. The town is not saying it was an all illegible. I'm trying to respond to Mr. Eprose's allegation that it's legible. I'm saying it was legible enough, but the town he used was submitted as an exhibit to the hearing, and what the town maintained was produced for Mr. Eprose in its exact form.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any other questions? All right, with that, I'd entertain a motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I will move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Winkler, I second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
No.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Is Commissioner Einhorn there? Mr. Einhorn?
Mr. Chairman, it's Matthew Reed here. At the start of the meeting, I don't think you had joined yet. He said he was going to stay as long as he could, but that he may have to depart early.
Okay. All right. So we have all in favor with the exception of Commissioner Shaw. Is that correct? Is that correct, Commissioner Shaw?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All in favor with the exception of Commissioner Shaw, the motion, decision passes. Adopted. Well, thank you, everyone. Appreciate your attendance and your participation. We have now the St. Parties FIC 2020-0352, Bill Efros versus Chairman, Planning and Zoning Commission, Town of Greenwich, et al. Are you still there, Mr. Efros?
I am.
Thank you. And Attorney Butler, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. So Attorney Butler, would you like to begin?
Well, yeah, in this complaint, Mr. Efros alleges that the town held an executive session virtually, actually on three executive sessions on June 15th, 2020, July 16th, 2020, and July 27th, 2020. And he alleges that the executive sessions which were noticed to discuss pending litigation were actually a discussion of matters pertaining to the Cardinal Stadium site plan, which was also the subject of the previous matter. In this case, two witnesses appeared for the respondents, Katie DeLuca, who's the chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission, chairman of our planning and zoning department, and Margaret Alvin, who's chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they both testified that, yes, executive sessions were held that day, however, the subject was nothing to do with the Cardinal Stadium site plan. It was another matter of pending litigation. The decision does note that the notice for the meeting, which was, to discuss pending litigation, was not specific enough. Ms. Alban had testified that she thought it was, the notice was set that way because there was a strategy and that she didn't want to be back that this particular matter was being discussed to be public as part of a legal strategy. However, we understand that the notice was not specific enough in this case. However, the main issue, which was whether the Cardinal Stadium site plan was being discussed in executive session, was satisfactorily testified to, and that was not the subject of any of these meetings.
Thank you. Mr. Efros?
Yes. There's no way that I can show what did or didn't happen at that meeting. Of course, I wasn't there. My main issue is that the meetings show properly what issues are being discussed in these executive sessions, as was suggested by the hearing officer, and I agree with that. I just want to make sure that the town starts to indicate what is being discussed in the meeting. And I do want to point out that I have been the subject of six or eight different executive session meetings that the court has found did involve me when, in fact, they said it was something else. So that's the reason that we're here today. And I think that's all I have to say. I just want to make sure that the town starts to say what the executive session is going to discuss, and that they conduct the executive session's meetings properly, meaning no outside parties are coming into them, and the other requirements of the Freedom of Information Act. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for the parties? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Shuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankin?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
No one even, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0009, Lisa Edwards versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Lisa Edwards is not here, but she sent a letter or an email requesting a continuance. Is there anyone there from the State of Connecticut?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. This is Attorney Deborah Moore, the Agency Legal Director for the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services.
I understand, Attorney Moore, you wish to be heard on this request for a continuance.
Just briefly, the decision issued by the hearing officer was a dismissal for failure to prosecute. So I'm not entirely clear as to what the continuance would do for Ms. Edwards should the commission agree to continue it.
I'll let Attorney Murphy address that.
If the commission were to mark this off or vote to continue the matter, it would simply mean at this point that this same proposed decision, which is a dismissal for failure to prosecute, would then come before the commission at a future date, likely our next meeting or the meeting following.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Can I ask a question of either the hearing officer? Was this a records request, or does this have to do with a meeting request? Meeting.
It's Colleen Murphy again, and it's a records request.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since it's a failure to prosecute, there's nothing that would preempt her, Ms. Edwards, from requesting the same records again in the future. So, I mean, my thought would not to continue, and that we would take this matter up for a vote.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Hankins. I would concur. I mean, this is actually the second time that the complainant does not appear. He didn't appear for the hearing when the respondents had witnesses. In other words, witnesses, plural, more than one. And today, she just wrote in and kind of gave it a Hail Mary that we would act upon. And, again, I guess with the respondents counsel, I am a tad perplexed as to what an attorney would do right now, because along with Commissioner Streeter, all they would do is argue that it be reopened. And again, this is just a records request. It was dismissed not with prejudice. It was dismissed, without saying it, without prejudice. So let them, get to the back of the line and, do it again. And this time, apparently she can have her attorney to argue the evidence or the hearing report or whatever. Start fresh with an attorney. And I guess that's really what she wants anyway. Start ground zero with an attorney. So I would agree with the concept of just dismissing the matter.
Okay. So Do any of the other commissioners have anything else they'd like to add? Okay, thank you. Then I would entertain a motion.
Commissioner Streeter again, Mr. Chairman. I'll move that we adopt the hearing officer's report, which is the dismissal for failure to prosecute.
Motion was made by Commissioner Streeter and seconded by Commissioner Winkler. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? And Owen Egan, yes. Thank you. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Moore.
Thank you.
Next, we move on to docket number FIC 2021-0055, Sherry Spear versus Building Department, City of Norwich, et al. Is there anyone here from, I'm sorry, I know that Sherry Spear is here, is that correct?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Attorney Michael Carey, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there anyone else here for either of the parties? All right. Ms. Spear, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, please. I filed a motion to reopen this and get a hearing. The commission sent me the team's information via mail, not email. The actual information for the team's link arrived and was not in my hands until after the hearing had concluded. Because this is the result of a mail error, I'd ask the commission to please not enter a final decision and send this back to the hearing officer for a full hearing, where I will be able to attend for the reason that I could not get the link in advance. Thank you.
Attorney Carey?
Mr. Chairman, we submitted an objection to Ms. Spear's motion. She also filed a motion for continuance of today's proceeding. We objected to both in a document dated October 8th, 2021. And I'm content resting on what we wrote unless any of the commissioners would like me to add or explain anything. The bottom line is that the respondents were on the telephone with the commission office on the morning at the time that the hearing was scheduled to be held. My understanding is that there were actually several other city employees who were on a separate line, and how they ever got notice of the hearing is really beyond me, because we had not coordinated with them or intended for any of them to be part of the hearing. So that I'm not in a position to dispute what Ms. Spear says about the mail. But all I can say is that the city had notice in advance and sufficient time to have prepared and to have had a couple of witnesses ready participate on the day. I think it was September 23. So I leave it to the commission's discretion after that.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, it's Colleen Murphy here, just to give you background from the commission's processes on this one. We did send the notice of hearing in order to show cause goes out by certified mail, and that was transmitted well in advance of the hearing, and it was returned to us after the, that notice of hearing in order to show cause was returned to us after the hearing, indicating that the mail had not been retrieved by the intended recipient. And in terms of the, sending out the link, we typically send out a link 2 weeks or so in advance of a hearing that contains the remote access instructions in it. and that in this case was sent by regular mail because we did not have an email address for Ms. Spear. So that's the background from the commission. The mail was not, I think the original notice of hearing in order to show cause was not retrieved or picked up by Ms. Spear. And then that, I hope I've explained what happened with the link. It did go by regular mail because we have not been provided with email for Ms. Spear.
I'd just like to add, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, may I ask Ms. Murphy a question, please? Is there any reason to think that a certified mailing
did
not go to the correct address?
I'm sorry. Who's speaking?
This is Michael Carey. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Carey, yes, you can ask.
May I ask Ms. Murphy a question?
Sure.
I'd just like to know, does the commission have any reason to think that the certified mailing was not sent to the correct address from Ms. Spear?
No, from the record I have, it simply says return to sender unclaimed. We have the address as one, I won't state the address, but it's the address we have on file.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, this is Michael Carey again. That changes my position somewhat, actually a lot. If Ms. Spear, for whatever reason, neglected to pick up her certified mail, I don't think that that's a sound basis for setting a new hearing date in this matter. I think at that point, the onus should fall on the complainant, and the commission and the respondents should not be troubled to have to deal with this again under that circumstance.
This is Commissioner Hagins. Attorney Murphy said that the link number or the notice of the meeting was sent by regular mail a couple of weeks in advance to the complainant. And if that's the case, it's a rebuttable presumption that she, in fact, received it. So she had notice of the actual hearing well in advance of the hearing date.
Can I add something, please?
One second.
Okay, thank you.
Any of the other commissioners wish to speak? Okay, Ms. Spear?
Yes, I've had numerous hearings over the past year on another matter, and I always have received my link by email, and I didn't receive an email link, and I didn't have the mail in time, and the secretary said she didn't have my email on the case. But they have my email for the past year. And Jennifer, her name's Jennifer Mayo, I believe. So I emailed her and I said, please email me in the future to this email, the same email that you have on file. And I would have been there if I had known that it was that day. I'm very responsible. I always type and file my motions and I request witnesses, and if I have to subpoena, I will. So it wasn't my fault that she didn't email me the link. I was expecting email of my communication above and beyond anything else, because that's how I've been communicating with them for the last year. Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any other questions of the parties?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter, I just think it's, if the commission staff has a procedure for how they set up these meetings and to how, where they can try their best to accommodate. But if the normal method is to send out registered letters and first class mail, to have to remember every individual, whether they receive emails or not. If we have the emails, then that's fine. But I don't think it's incumbent upon the commission to, on a case by case basis, determine which complainants request information via mail versus the regular process.
This is Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Also, this matter is dismissed, but not dismissed with prejudice. So, the complainant can once again request the material if she still wants it. And, so she's familiar with the process. So I guess she said she's done this before. So, it's not with prejudice. So do it again.
Thank you. Is there anything else from the commissioners? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Buzeschi?
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Alman Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mrs. Spear. Thank you, Attorney Carey.
Thank you, Chairman.
We are on report on pending appeals.
Yes, thank you. It's Colleen Murphy again. Just two items to report for today on pending appeals. The first is that a case I believe we talked about at the last meeting involving Sarah Brash. Just getting a lot of static over here, sorry. Sarah Brash, a decision that had been issued by the Superior Court where the Commission's decision was upheld involving uncorroborated allegations of criminal activity. And that case has been appealed by Ms. Brash to the appellate court. So that's item number one. Item number two is that we received a new appeal just yesterday. I note that it's only the second appeal that we've had this year, which is interesting to me. Just two of our decisions have been appealed this year. But in any event, this is an appeal by Jason McCoy versus the commission and the city of Bridgeport, the city clerk, I believe, in Bridgeport. And this was a matter you decided a couple meetings ago, I think, that involved the naming rights agreement for the Webster Bank Arena there in Bridgeport. And you might recall the issue was about commercial financial information given in confidence. And it had some other issues involved in the case as well. But in any event, Mr. McCoy has appealed that decision to the Superior Court. So those are the two pending appeals under Executive Director's Report. I'll let you know that our reopening team, our staff reopening team, met a week or so ago, and we talked about continuing the current processes that we're operating under through the fall and likely through the winter. But during this time, we're thinking of preparing a plan that would enable us to do hybrid type meetings in the future, and possibly in person in the spring. So we're gonna be putting together a plan that would allow hopefully some options for parties to appear via video at your commission meetings or in person. So we're gonna work on that during these few months and we'll get back to you on that. But we all thought it would be best to maintain pretty much the status quo for now. While we ride out the latest variant and hope for good numbers for the spring. So I think that's it for the reopening team. Oh, no, I did want to add too that we did acquire the software, the FTR software that will enable us to do the dual hearings that I've referenced before. We just received that, so we're testing that out and we'll have to do a little bit of training on that, but our hope is that we might be able to do simultaneous contested case hearings coming near you soon. So that's what I have on the update of our operations. Under staff reports, we have our new attorney who will start next week, the 22nd of October. So we're looking forward to welcoming her on board next Friday. And beyond that, I don't have a legislative report and I don't have any new business at this time, but happy to answer any questions you all might have.
Any questions?
I don't have a question, but Commissioner Fusashi, I just want to comment for a second. On the first of the month, Yale Law School held a national and international conference called Access and Accountability, focusing on FOI issues in the, nationally and in the country. It was attended by lawyers, professors, practitioners from all over the United States and, in fact, other countries. And one of the keynote, and I would say, well, I listened to participate in quite a bit of it, but Colleen Murphy, our executive director, was one of the speakers in the keynote panel. And I'd like to report, I was a very proud member of the Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission because it received such attention in terms of as a model that one can look forward to and learn more about for how to provide more access to people who are seeking information without having to immediately go to a judicial route. And so it was interesting to hear that it's very few states, very few jurisdictions have such a functioning system where so many people in the hundreds can go through a body like our commission to get a hearing, to get advice. And we really do provide something that people were very impressed about. And I guess I would quote one of the comments is they were not only inspired by our model, but inspired listening to Colleen. And so was I. And so I really wanted to mention that because it was, I think it was a very informative and proud moment for the Connecticut FOIC and for our leader, Executive Director Colleen. And she's too humble to comment.
I'll just thank you, Commissioner, and say that that conference, I think, was excellent. The range of people that they were able to bring to that conference was really quite stunning. And it was a proud moment for me. I was very privileged to be on that panel and sharing our process. And it's true that we're one of the few, as many of you know, but I'll also say that I have fielded, not just after that conference, but recently I'm fielding a lot of questions from people in other states who are, I don't know why now, but catching wind of what we do here. And so I've been not officially consulting or anything, but just talking to people in Washington, in Maryland, in Oregon, I think. So that's been really cool, and shows that our process, even in these odd times that we're in, has stood the test of time, and even with the issues that we of course have on occasion, our model is one that is admired in the U.S. and throughout the world.
And hopefully will be emulated. Hope with so. Little tweaks here.
Hope so.
Thank you. Kudos to you, Colleen. We're very proud of you.
Very good.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Great job. All right, do we have staff reports?
No staff reports, just that our new attorney is starting next week. That's it. I think I'm all set.
How about legislative report?
No legislative report today.
Any new business?
And no new business.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn has been made. Is there a second? All right, all those in favor, I'll take a roll call. All those in favor of adjourning, it's Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Shaw? Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Great job.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Be safe.